CinemaSins has a fan club. It's called the Sin Club, and members get all sorts of things like early episodes, bonus videos, merch discounts, and even monthly bonus podcasts. Membership starts at $3 a month, and you can sign up now at patreon.com/CinemaSins.
Oh, man, I had a few. I have a lot of tough days. But
the first one before lunch.
Right.
Welcome to SinCast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the SinCast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Barrett Scher.
Hi.
And today we have a very special guest. It is the director and star of a movie called Castle Falls. It feels like we should have Don LaFontaine introducing you right now. We should have today on the SinCast, Dolph Lundgren. And Castle Falls is in theaters on demand and digital December 3rd. Dolph, welcome.
Thank you.
How did you become attached to this project?
Well, I had this other film with Scott Adkins, who's a British actor, and then I fell out. So I was looking for a two-hander, and I wanted to try to direct something small with some action or some drama just to see if I liked it, because I directed 15 years ago when I wasn't sure if it was, you know, something I wanted to do. So I found this script, which was kind of a version of the one we shot. But, you know, the characters were on the opposite sides. But I wanted, you know, both characters, both the prison guard and Scott's character, the MMA, ex-MMA guy, to have some more, a little more subtext, and to be kind of both likable, but they are up against each other. So we rewrote the script a number of times and tried to take it down in budget. And then we decided to do it in early 2020, right before COVID started.
Oh, wow.
I read that you got one day of shooting in before before you had to shut it down.
Yeah, half a day, actually. They shut us down at lunch.
Half a day.
Half a day.
Oh, no.
Which was good, because we got shut down by the city ordinance, which meant we could collect insurance. So we shut down for 7 months, which gave me actually valuable time to prepare a little more and work with the actors and plan the fight sequences and stuff. And then we started up again October in Birmingham, Alabama.
And you shot in Birmingham?
Excuse me?
You shot in Birmingham?
In Birmingham, yeah.
Wow, wow.
I have like a tax credit, but, you know, it's an interesting place. Very it colorful, is. I may say.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was wondering if they had just had a building that you could just blow up, and that's the reason why you picked Birmingham, or if it was because Birmingham was important or whatever. But I was like, that's very interesting. We're not too far from Birmingham where we're at. We're in Nashville, so... it's always fun to see. It's always fun to see something, you know, a city from the South get into a movie like this and everything. So we were wondering why Birmingham.
Well, it was had to do with the tax credit, and then originally, before COVID set in, there was a prison up in Tuscaloosa, and there was a couple of other locations that we wanted to use, but we ended up not being able to do that because of COVID. But there was this hospital that it's gone now, I believe, but they were going to take it down. We needed some big building that was abandoned but safe enough to shoot in, where we can get a permit. And it was difficult, but we found that hospital. And then because it had an interesting history, we kind of included some of that in the script.
Oh, so that's an actual history that's in the movie, that actual building has, of being a children's hospital back in the day?
Yeah, it was a children's hospital, and also it was also kind of controversial during the Freedom Riders in the South and all of that whole episode, I think in the early 60s or whenever.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of, and then the story... In the story, there's a reason why they want to build something fresh there and something, the community center, and they want to kind of erase that negative, some of the negative aspects of the past, which, you know, is kind of part of the mayor's speech in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. What is it like directing yourself, especially in an action movie? I know that you've directed before, and you're usually also a star in the movie, but is that tough? Is that really super tough, or do you just have this great crew behind you that's, you know, that helps you out and everything? But how what's the difficulties involved with that?
Well, look, yes, I mean, I had a great crew and people want to help, but the thing is, you prepare as a director first, especially if you haven't done it that much, which means you're dealing with all kinds of issues, production, lighting, camera, dealing with actors, stunts. You know, the last thing you think about is your own performance usually. And then suddenly you're in a big close-up and then nobody can help you. So you have to do your homework. You have to do your homework. And I'd prepared pretty well for it, but I still would have somebody watch the monitor and I would give them instructions. It was actually my fiance, and give them instructions like, you know, watch for this, watch for that. If anything looks fake, or if you don't believe it, let me know. Anything looks weird, just come and tell me. Because you're so much into the other actor's performance, so sometimes you forget your
mind. Yeah, yeah. Well, and this is a special movie as well for you because you are directing your daughter, Ida, in this as well. And you get to play father and daughter in it. Now, I know you had done this before. It was a long time ago in the movie called Command Performance. And it had been, what, 12 years or so since you had done this. Now, how special is that? And what were the dynamics involved and differences between the last time you did it?
Well, look, it was a great experience for me to have her on set, to work with her, to give her a shot, you know, a little bit of an opportunity to experience, because this business is really tough and, you know, you need all the help you can get no matter who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the day, back in 2009 or 8, when I last, you know, directed her, she was only like 11 years old, mm-hmm. I think. And, mm-hmm. natural actress. She would cry on cue. And I remember the leading lady was a bit outclassed. Because, you know, women in movies usually have to cry. There's usually a scene you got to cry, especially in action.
Right.
But well, it was a good experience. And we, you know, it was tough with COVID and everything and getting her there because she was with her mom in Europe at the time. She had to get her back and get her over there. But she was good. And I think she played the character well, underplayed it. And, hopefully we could do it again.
Yeah. Just as an aside, in Command Performance, I didn't realize what a drummer you were. I didn't realize that at all. Huh. How long?
I was.
I was like, is this something that's
one
well
of the many
known?
Talents.
Is this something that's well known about Dolph Lundgren? I'm not sure, but it looked like, I mean, the movie made you look like you were awesome anyway. I mean, you know.
Well, I was okay. I used to play in a marching band up and down the field, that kind of thing. And then, yeah, the script came to me by a drummer in a Die Hard in a concert, the rock and roll drummer, of course. He's the badass. So. It was okay. I had a pretty good time doing it.
Yeah. So when you got to the casting of this, obviously Scott Adkins is a top name on this, but how did you go about your casting for this movie?
You know, it was mostly local actors because of our, you know, we had some limitations financially, and also you have to hire a certain number of actors to get the tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a bit nervous about it. But then I found all of these, there was some really good actors in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of a driving distance. And then mm-hmm. we also found a bunch of local actors, like even in Birmingham. some of them did a great job. There's like a few there, outstanding, you know. So I was very happy with that. Yeah, I think they did a great job. And a lot of the stunt guys and some of those big guys are in it running up and down those stairs, you know, they're all locals.
Mm-hmm.
And they look the part and they look tough. They look, you know, Southern, tough Southerners. And, you know, these tough, and they were supposed to be the characters anyway.
They all can fight too, Dolph. I mean, it seems like, what I wonder about, you know, the films that you've been in, certainly the films that you directed, especially Castle Falls, what are you looking for in filming fight scenes? Are you looking more for authenticity, or are you looking for choreography? Obviously, I'm sure it would be best to get both of them right. But it seems like, you know, Scott, We talked to Scott recently, and I know his history of being an actual martial artist, and obviously he has that physicality, and he's not afraid to get hit. Nobody wants to, of course, but what is the kind of, how do you approach these fight scenes, of which there are several in this film?
Well, look, my whole approach to the movie was coming from the human aspects of these people, meaning I have to make sure it's believable. So Scott plays kind of a somewhat over the hill MMA fighter, mm-hmm. who's out down in his luck, sleeps in his car, he's got no money. So I could take a leap of faith that in the fights, when he gets attacked by these bad guys, he's gonna be able to throw a roundhouse kick or a knee or something, which my character is a prison guard, you know, it's like more like a street fighter. So you have to keep mm-hmm. the styles different. And then we had this choreographer who was in from Europe, but he couldn't come over to the States because of the COVID, but he would send clips over, and then Scott would rehearse with the stunt people. And he's very much a perfectionist. I could just leave it up to him. And we had a great operator who was a stunt guy as well. And he would shoot everything and I would watch and just comment if something didn't look right. But usually Scott would be more of a perfectionist than I was. I think I was just looking for longer takes where you realize, you know, when you have the quick cutting, you kind of feel there's a stunt person in there. But
for sure,
I wanted Scott to do the fighting, you know, even with me. And I had a bunch of injuries, so from the old, you know, various things I've done, and I was struggling a bit. I sort of kept up with him and pulled my bicep tendon up, ripped up here. And
oh, my God.
But, you know, but I knew that I couldn't afford to do a big car stunt or major stunt. So I thought if we get good fights in it, then, you know, at least we have that going, which, you know, a lot of films don't have. Because, for instance, the guy who plays Deacon Glass, who's like one of the criminals, he's a stunt guy and he did a great job as an actor, so he could do his own fights too. So he's doing all his own fights, and a lot of the other tough guys in the movie, they do their own fights, because, you know, as a director, you only have to speak to, if you just spend a little time with that actor, even if it's a stunt actor, and you just work on the character a little bit, you can get a great performance out of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But a lot of times in action movies, they don't care about that. They only care about the action, and then you lose the person, you know.
Right. So you had the luxury of having people with stunt backgrounds on that. So you might as well take advantage of it, right?
Exactly. Yes, for some of those characters, they had to be stunt. They had to have done fights. And then I had to find the best person with that capability. And sometimes for the top, say, 7-8 characters, I would write a little, think about their character, write a little bio and send it to them and they can read it, and try to make it super dramatic, you know, with a terrible childhood and incarceration, you know, women who, you know, cheated on them. Yeah. Come in, alcoholism, anything bad that would make them feel something. So when they show up, they come in from a real place, you know.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off My Rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Jonathan, what you got?
Well, I am curious, if you don't mind, because I find it interesting that we're talking, I find it exciting that we're talking to you this week, because the Rocky IV director's cut, Rocky versus Drago, I believe is what it's titled now, right? I was just curious if you had any thoughts on that, or if Stallone like actually contacted you beforehand, or I just didn't know how, what all went into that.
Well, I heard about it almost a year ago when he started, and then he sent me clips. We're like, was during COVID. I didn't really see him much. Didn't see him for over a year or more, actually. And I knew he was working on it. And then I heard about the premiere, which was Thursday, because it always opens around Thanksgiving, all the Rocky movies since 1976. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to go, but I was stuck here in London. And, I'm really excited about seeing it. I think it's great that he's doing this. I think that it is a film that has somehow survived, it survived the test of time somehow, because even when I catch it once in a while, and it doesn't feel dated. I mean,
Right. Yeah,
the cars may be older, but the style, the cinematic style is kind of modern, I think, and that's why kids love it, I think, because there is some great stuff in it. And, some of these workouts, those training montages are incredible the way he's put that together. Yeah. It's just amazing. I mean, who else has done that? Is the only thing that came up close would have been the Creed movies, Still not maybe as good as that one, no.
Well, I have experience with Russia, that, though.
Russia-America thing is just, it can't beat that.
And no offense to Carl Weathers and like Mr. T, but I mean, Rocky IV has the best villain too, right? So, I mean, that helps, right?
Well, I think it's the most scary and more formidable, and also to some degree, kind of, I don't know how to say it, but it's a little tragic, because in the other movies, they're doing it for themselves, but in this movie, he's doing it for the state. So it's not really his idea. You get a feeling he's Frankenstein's monster is, and then there's something kind of a little deeper in that than just Mr. T being and want to kick Rocky's ass, and take his woman. I think it has a lot of elements that are certainly worth redoing it, and hopefully some of the young kids will be able to see it and then maybe enjoy it.
Well, that was
for sure.
That was the great revelation of Creed 2, though, was that Ivan Drago was doing this for his country. This was something that when he came back, he was basically just persona non grata after that and everything. Did you look at your character back then as the villain of the movie, or did you think of yourself in those terms, that he's doing this for his country, that this is important to his country, and he's the hero over in Russia?
Yeah, well, I had this Russian director who was my dialect coach, but he turned out to be a really smart director, because I had already auditioned and I'd already come up with the idea of when I lived in New York to play him, very not to do anything, just to stand there. Because I'd seen Mr. T in Apollo, they were very, very, very animated.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he should just be very internal. Everything is internal. He just stands there, I must break you. It's just, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I don't come up with that. And these Soviet cadets keep their chin really high. They have this sort of look. It's the hero of the proletariat, communist hero, that guy with a square jaw. So this Russian director, he was a theater director in Moscow. He came up with a backstory that I'd been used since I was a kid, and I'd been trained to do this for the state, but I didn't really like it. I wasn't crazy about it. Like, I didn't want to kill Apollo Creed, but I'd been told to do it. So I didn't, and at some point in the movie, you get the feeling that Drago doesn't really like the fact he's being injected and pushed and forefront. He's not really into it. And then there's that moment at the end where he kind of rebels, the monster rebels against and the doctor who created them, you know. So I played into that a little bit, and I think that's probably why I ended up playing He-Man the next film, which is kind of a heroic character, because people kind of felt a little sorry for Drago, you know. Obviously, some people still hate me for killing Apollo, but
we forgive you.
What was cool in Creed 2 was that you know, you got to find out what really happened, and you know, see this poor guy still like totally bitter about what happened 35 years ago, and then and then I get a chance to kind of redeem myself, I guess. And I think it was a cool story, father-son story. I think it was pretty moving, actually. I read the script, and I remember I worked on a character, and with my I worked with Sky New York, an acting coach, sometimes and stuff. And he said, you know, of all people in the whole world, the last guy who's going to throw in the towel is Drago.
Yeah, yeah.
But when he does, it's a shocker, right?
Right.
I read the script, and I'm like, what? And then I remember when I could see when we shot that scene, when I go up to hug my son, and I could see the women and the extras were crying in the theater, in the on set, and I knew it was going to work.
Yeah,
awesome. It does.
Apparently, we only have a couple more minutes, so one last thing, I guess, on Castle Falls. Do you remember what your toughest day on set was?
Oh man, I had a few. I have a lot of tough days. But I
first one before lunch,
right?
You know, we have to walk 10 stories up to the 10th floor to do some of that high stuff. But the fight with Scott was a tough day because I had drama. I did some other scenes, and I had to fight him while I was directing, and I pulled a bicep tendon, and which is pretty painful. I had to finish the fight. I think that was a pretty tough day.
I do have to say, Dolph, one thing, your performance, of course, is terrific in this. I think Scott really has a great sense of acting within the action genre, particularly with his eyes. And I wonder, because he did so many Hong Kong movies, where if that kind of seeped in a little bit. Did you notice that there's a particular scene between the two of you in the windows that I won't spoil, that is, I think, my favorite part of the movie, where you both are acting through your eyes there.
Look, Scott, he's a very talented actor. It's just like a lot of times in action movies, especially, you know, lower budgets, nobody has time to worry about the character, and the director doesn't care. He's pressured by the producers. They don't care. And I've done a bunch of those movies, and Scott has done a few, I think, and I just think if he works with a good director, and I did my best, then he has a lot of talent, and he is very interesting, and he has a lot of depth, and I wish he can do more films like that.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Well,
I'd love to see him.
Dolph, thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Sure.
The movie is Castle Falls. It comes out in theaters on demand and digital on December 3rd. Best of luck to you on this movie. Hope it does well for you.
Thanks, guys. Hope to see you soon and talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Yep.
That's going to do it for this interview. It's Chris Atkinson, Jonathan Watkins, and Barrett Sher. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.